strength of my redeemer. For us in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. If you are ready, put it in the comment section. I'm ready. Pastor, you have us do that all the time. That is right. I have you do it all the time to tell yourself, to tell your flesh, to tell the devil, to tell social media, I'm ready. I'm ready. Jesus, Lord God Almighty. And listen, y'all better help the preacher preach. Y'all better be in that comment section because I'm working like a Hebrew slave right now. I'm working like a dog, man. Y'all better not have me here working and y'all sitting there with your feet up. I want you to get engaged right now. Here we go. Tonight we begin with this topic, introduction to managing our emotions. That's what we're focusing on now. This is the introduction to managing our emotions. This is the first message of this series, this topic, this category of managing our emotions. I begin to think about, if we can just get control up, if we could just get a hold of our emotions, how much better would our life be? How much better would our peace be? How much better would relationships be if we could just learn to manage emotions? Because emotions are all over the place, up and down. We got to learn like a bull, man, to grab that bull by the horns and manage these emotions. Understand this. As Christians, we are also human. As believers, man, we can sometimes be so spiritually minded. We are human. And so we're not just spirits, and everything is not all spiritual. You hear me? Listen, if your car is dirty, you don't pray it clean. What do? You clean it, right? So whatever you believe in God for, if you gotta eat dinner, you don't be like dinner appear on the stove in Jesus' name. It don't work that way. You got to do something. It is not all spiritual. There are some aspects to this life. Now, of course, the spirit life is the foundation for everything that we are as believers, and this life in Christ is the foundation for everything. So, of course, it is our foundation. This kingdom life, this spiritual life, this life in Christ, this spiritual life, it is the foundation. But we are human. We are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. We are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. The scripture doesn't have a verse that says that, but it implies that. We are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. And what is our soul? Our soul. What is the soul, Pastor? The soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, and your imagination. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, and your imagination. Again, there's not a scripture that says that. It just implies it all throughout the scripture. Your soul, we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, and your imagination. So let me say again, we are human. Let me show you the scripture right here that shows that we're human and all this stuff goes together. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. I'm looking at the King James. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And we talked about this past Friday for Friday Fire, but I need you to get the first part. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But let me say it for the purpose of learning, but we are in the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh, but we are in the flesh. The New English Translation says it this way, for though we live as human beings, we do not wage war according to human standards, but we are human beings. Understand that we are human beings. God's Word translation says of this, it says, of course we are human, but we don't fight like humans, but we are humans. We got to really, really hone down on that because we think that we are these super spiritual beings that doesn't have to deal with being human, but being human and living on this planet, that means we have to deal with every aspect of being human, just like Jesus did. So guess what? We got bills, we got family, we got traffic. We got taxes, we got political drama, we got aches and there's death and all that kind of stuff. And guess what? There's emotions. That is part of being human on this planet. I wish there were so many categories that I just read off. And man, if we could just get rid of some of that stuff and just be just all daisies and flowers and all that kind of stuff. But understand, as humans, we got to deal with every aspect of being human. And too often we ignore our soul, especially our emotions. We ignore our mental health, especially as Christians. As Christians, I'm going to tell you, we are famous for this, man. Listen, we want to memorize a lot of scripture. We want to be at church all the time and all those kind of stuff. And that's all good. But we like to ignore our souls and we like to ignore our mental health. And we Brianna talked about it some. Listen, let me be honest with you. And you got to stay with me the whole series. Don't just check out. Don't just check out. We use prayer as a bandage. And we use it to neglect addressing our mental and emotional health. Pastor, what are you talking about? Prayer is so important. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And prayer has its place. And prayer is the starting place. And prayer is the foundation. And we should always be in prayer. We should always be in communication with God. But sometimes we use it as some sort of bandage and we use it to mask our emotions and mask our feelings and not deal with the mental and emotional health. Let me show you right here. You think I'm tripping? Let me show you a principle right here. James chapter 2, verse number 14 to 17, the Message translation says this. It says, dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Do you think you're going to get far, but knowing all the right words, but never doing anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, look at this example. You come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? You see it right there? If you just pray over somebody, you just confess over somebody, you just confess something over yourself and you do nothing, you don't address the natural need, you don't address that part, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Too often we pray a prayer and you're going to see as we go along here in a few minutes, we don't deal with, we don't address, we don't face, we don't fix, we don't address our mental and our emotional well-being. You don't just pray, be warm. You don't just pray, be warm in Jesus' name. Somebody's cold and you're like, hey, stop shivering in the name of Jesus and just be warm in Jesus' name. It don't work like that. Or listen, we address our physical needs. Think about this. We address our physical needs. I said this past Sunday. Think about this. Somebody gets hurt physically, and we're okay with them going to the doctor. We're okay with them going to urgent care. But if they get hurt mentally and emotionally, we say they're not trusting God enough. And we tell them things like, just get over it. Just get over it. So we address the physical need, and we even address the spiritual need. We say, pray. Learn the word. Make sure you're in church. But then we don't address the mind and we don't address the emotions. And let me be honest with you. There's a lot of hurt people in the church. And they know all the lyrics to the worship song. They know how to put on the church. They do all that kind of stuff. But there are a lot of hurt people in the church. There are scarred people with trauma, and we tell them you're just not trusting God enough. Listen, I beg to differ. There's more to it than that. I'm not saying that's incorrect, but it's incomplete. And I'm going to show you, listen, let me say this. I believe God addresses every area of our lives, including our emotions. Let me say it again. I believe God addresses every area of our lives, including our emotions. I got Bible for you. Psalms chapter 37, verse 17 to 19. The Message translation says this. Is anyone crying for help? God is listening, ready to rescue you. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath. Disciples so often get into trouble, still God is there every time. Does that look like God is trying to abandon your mental and emotional stage? See, the Psalm 34:19 in the King James, we're used to that, saying the many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of the Lord delivers us out of them all. Understand that when you're hurting, that when you're going through, God is there to deal with the hurt and deal with the pain. Let me go a little deeper. Let me show you something. Jesus dealt with some mental and emotional anguish himself. Jesus, Lord God Almighty, let me show you Matthew chapter 26. I'm looking in the Contemporary English Version. Listen, this message is not for everybody. There, like I said, there's some people that are so super spiritual that they're so turned off by this message. And they're just saying, Pastor, you ain't teaching faith and all that kind of stuff. Didn't I tell you that I'm called to deal with the balance of faith and wisdom? Didn't I tell you that? Faith and wisdom. There are some things that you're trying to use your faith for that wisdom fixes. And you're misappropriating faith. And that's why people are stressing and straining and committing suicide, even in the church. You better get with me now. Let me show you what Jesus dealt with. Matthew chapter 26, he dealt with this in the garden, verse 36. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. When they got there, he told them, sit here while I go over there and pray. Look at verse 37. Jesus took along Peter and two brothers, James and John. He was very sad and troubled. Jesus? Yes, Jesus. He was very sad and troubled. We act like being sad and troubled is a sin. Come on. Verse 38, and he said to them. So he didn't just, listen, he didn't just keep it to himself. He got really open and honest. He got really raw. He said, I'm so sad that I feel as if I'm dying. Woo, Jesus. The same Savior that raised the dead. Said, I'm so sad. I'm so great. I'm so sad right now that I feel like I'm dying. Stay here and keep awake with me. Now, we better deal with these feelings. We better be real about these feelings. And let me couple that together with the Gospel of Luke, because the Gospel of Luke, it pulls out something else that happened. Luke 22, verse 44, King James Version, it says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That is a true medical condition. When there's so much pressure that the capillaries bust and blood mixes in with your sweat, you are at such an extreme stress. One physician said you're about to die. That's how stressful you are. We're talking about Jesus. Because remember, he was also human. He went to the cross as a man. Adam, the man, messed it up. So Jesus, the man, had to fix it. So guess what? That man dealt with the same type of human emotion you and I would deal with if we had to go through what he went through. He knew what, and remember, right after that, he said, Lord, if there's any other way, can you take this cup of suffering away from me? Somebody going to get helped in this series, I tell you. Somebody going to get help. Now, listen. Now, y'all with me? You with me? You with me? If you're with me, say, I'm with you. Come on, if you're with me, put that in the comment section. Say, I'm with you. I want to shift now. Come on, I only got a few more minutes. I'm waiting to see it. I know there's a delay. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not by myself. Thank you that you're with me. Pray. I know I got some real ride or dies in New Life, man. I know y'all with me. Some people that may see this get bothered, but if they're bothered, then they're not. I'm not for them, and that's okay. There's a lot of places they can go. But I want to help those that I'm for. Let's shift. Okay, because although God addresses our mental and our emotional state, you better get this part right here. There's a human responsibility in managing our emotions. So y'all thought you were off the hook, right? Y'all thought that, hey, God gonna do it all. There you go again. There's a human responsibility in managing our emotions. My bishop talks about God's sovereignty and human responsibility. They don't cancel each other out. There's a human responsibility in managing our emotions. This whole series on a Wednesday night is about controlling our emotions. It's about mental fortitude. It's about resiliency. Because if not, you think that you could just throw a tantrum. You think that you can just live and embrace and accept depression and that's it. And there's no hope. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's a human responsibility. This is about mental fortitude. This is about resiliency. This is about what we can do about our emotions and about our situation. And most importantly, this is about using God's grace, promises, principles, and power from the scriptures to attack what may be attacking your mind and emotions. You hear that? That's what this is about. We're trying to give you some tools. This is about using God's grace, promises, principles, and power from the scriptures to attack what may be attacking your mind and your emotions. We're not going to just sit and be the victim. We're going to be the victor. Understand that you and I, as believers, we fight from a place of victory and authority. Why? Because the Bible says we always triumph in Christ Jesus. We taught it all last year. We win because he won. So we're fighting this mental and emotional battle, even from a place of authority, from a place of victory. So, Pastor, what's the goal? Give me four. Here we go. We're almost done. What's the goal? Here we go. Here we go. What's the goal? Okay. Look at Luke chapter 8. I'm going to show you in the scriptures what the goal is. Thank you, Brother Dexter. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to preach this thing, man. I'm going to deal with this mental emotional health. I'm tired of Christians ignoring it. I'm tired of Christians ignoring mental and emotional health. Come on. What's the goal? Luke chapter 8, verse 22 to 24. I want to show you this story right here, the situation. I want to pull something out of here to show you what the goal is. Verse 22, now it came to pass on a certain day that he, Jesus, went into a ship with the disciples, and he said to them, let's go over to the other side of the lake, and they launched forth, okay? Verse 23, look at this. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. So apparently, the conditions are conducive enough to where Jesus could fall asleep. So as they sailed, he fell asleep. We're still in verse 23. Let's keep going. And there came down a storm off the wind of the lake. So it didn't start that way, but it turned that way. Come on, somebody. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. This was not just a little rain, a little drizzle. This was such a storm that the waves were now crashing into. The water is crashing into the boat, and it said they were in jeopardy. In other words, it wasn't just a little storm at sea. This thing was so detrimental that now their lives were in jeopardy. Now their lives were on the, that's what kind of storm this was. And look at verse 24, and they came to him, Jesus, and woke him and said, Master, Master, we perish. Like, come on, get up. We about to die. We about to die in this thing. It had to be bad because most of his disciples were fishermen. They've been on that sea before. They've been fishing and things got rough. This must have been something that they've never seen before to the point to where they feel like they're about to die. Woke Jesus up. Master, Master, we're about to perish. Then he, Jesus, arose. Look at this. And rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. He rebuked the wind. Now, this is what I need you to understand. Because what's the goal? What's the goal, Pastor? What's the goal? Well, if you go back to verse 23, remember, he fell asleep. And so apparently, when he fell asleep, my deductive reasoning tells me, verse 23, when he fell asleep, that things were calm. Nothing had happened during that time. Verse 23, you see that? He fell asleep, and then there, however you want to say it, came down a storm of wind on the lake. He gets in the boat, it's calm, he goes to sleep. Why he asleep? A storm, it says a storm of wind. I love the King James, I love the Bible, the way it talks. A storm of wind. And you go back down to verse 24, it says, then he arose, and what did he do? He rebuked the wind. This is what I need you to understand. The only reason why the water was raging, it said that then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. The only reason why the water was raging, the only reason why the water was crashing into the ship was because of the wind. That's the only reason why, because the water was so calm that he could fall asleep. So the only reason why the water was raging was because of the wind. The wind caused the water to get chippy, to become a storm, and to begin to pour into the boat. So That tells me, so Pastor, what's the goal? I'll tell you what, let's go to Psalms 23. Let's put it all together. Pastor, what's the goal? Psalms 23. Psalm 23 says this. Psalm 23, verse number 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse number 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Look at this. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Water in its natural state and form is still and calm. If you were to take a bowl and fill it with water and let it settle down, guess what it is? Still and calm. That's where God wants to lead you, to the still, calm, peaceful waters. Because then right after that, verse number 3 says, he restoreth my soul. My mind, my will, my emotion, my intellect. He restores that, heals that. Go back to verse number 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. Pastor, what's the goal? To be in that place of peace. That's where God leads you, in the calm, still waters. That's the goal. Still, calm, peace. So what's my responsibility? What's my human responsibility? Here goes right here. Protect your peace. That is your human responsibility. Think back of the story that we just read. Think back of the story we just read. The thing that disturbed the water was the wind. So when it comes to protecting my peace, I have to deal with whatever is causing the water to rage, because it should be still. It should be calm. I need to begin to assess my life and figure out what's causing the water to be raging. I need to protect my peace at all costs. You can't put a price tag on peace. Come on now. I got Bible for you. Give me a few more minutes. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 10. Come on, I'm trying to help you. I'm putting it all together. Proverbs chapter 20, I want to use this as a principle, show you something. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 10, the New King James Version says this: cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. So when it talks about a scoffer, it's talking about a person who cannot be changed with discipline or correction, but despises and corrupts anything that is morally or socially constructive. In other words, a scoffer is robbing your peace. It causes havoc. The Message translation says it this way. It says, kick out the troublemakers and things will calm down. The message says, kick out the troublemakers and things will calm down. You need a break from bickering and griping. Man, listen, I'm about to throw this tablet. You got to protect your peace at all times. You need to begin to assess your life. You need to begin to check your life and figure out what is the wind that is causing your water to get ruffled and to crash into your life. What is the thing that is stealing your peace? Sometimes it's a thing, sometimes it's a people. You got to assess and really check some stuff out and deal with and protect your peace at all costs, because the goal is peace. The goal is for things to be peaceful. The goal is for there to be calm, still waters in your life. You were not created to live in this turmoil, in this stress, in all this panic, and all this dysfunction. You should be at a place of peace. And whatever is stealing your peace, whatever is robbing your peace, it is time to deal with that. So remember what happened. It said that Jesus, if you look, so you don't have to go back there, but when we were at Luke 8, 24, it said that Jesus rebuked the wind. Jesus dealt with the thing that was stirring stuff up. He rebuked the wind. Come on, there it goes. Come on. I'm in your Bible. I'm there. Like my bishop says, I'm in the scriptures. I'm in your Bible. You see what Jesus did? The wind was robbing peace. The wind was getting the water all agitated, and he rebuked the wind. Peace, be still. My God. You and I are to protect our peace at all costs. I hear you, Deacon Robbie, said extend it up 30 minutes. That people will get off this thing so fast if I keep teaching. If I could keep teaching this thing for another hour, trust me. Trust me. But we got other Wednesdays. Let me say this, though. I'm about to give you a gut punch. I'm about to give you a gut punch. Some of y'all are praying for peace. You're praying for peace, but you cannot pray against what you permit. Woo, there's some wind that you ain't even rebuking. You cannot pray for peace, but you're praying for peace, but you cannot pray against what you permit. Jesus dealt with the wind. Jesus rebuked the wind. You're wanting peace without rebuking the wind. You're wanting peace without dealing with the thing that is agitating you. Come on. You can't pray against what you permit, what you tolerate, what you allow. Matthew 18, verse number 18, King James Version says it this way, because you think I'm tripping. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You better come up. The Complete Jewish Bible says it this way. Yes, I tell the people, I tell you people that whatever you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Don't ask heaven to address what you are not willing to address. I'm about to throw this tablet. Oh my goodness. I told you, you're trying to over spiritualize and you're trying to only spiritualize. Let me say it that way, because everything we do is spiritual. It's the foundation. You got to deal with the wind. You got to deal with the stuff that's agitating you. And if the truth be known, you know what it is. You know the things that are agitating you. You think I'm tripping? Let me show you one more verse. You think I'm tripping? I'm going to show you one more verse. Remember what happened in the garden? In Genesis chapter 3, devil came and caused all kinds of havoc, manipulated Eve. Adam disobeyed. They ate of the fruit. All hell broke loose. Remember that? Said that the serpent was subtile, more subtile than any of the creatures that God had created. He was cunning. He's crafty. He came, slithered up in there, started having a conversation with Eve. Eve's talking back to him. There's even a possibility that Adam was just sitting there watching the whole thing. Let me show you, though, what they permitted. Because in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15, I'm looking at the Amplified Classic. This is the last verse right here. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. Look at this. To tend and guard and keep it. Their job was to tend and guard and keep it. They could have kicked the devil out. As soon as the devil came in there talking crazy, they could have kicked him out, but they permitted him to be there, and then they begin to have some dialogue. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. You're praying for this peace, but then you're not dealing with the wind. Oh, you thought this was going to be nice and easy. That's what you thought, huh? When we talk about managing emotions, man, your emotions can be a beast. Your emotions can be a beast. And you've got to deal with it. You got to protect it at all costs. Listen, we just laid the foundation. I'm done, man. We laid the foundation. Listen, let me tell you, I'm going to give you the topic of what we're going to talk about next Wednesday. One word. This is the title for next Wednesday. Here goes. Rage. Ooh, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into that topic next week, man. I'm going to teach that message called rage. Oh, my goodness. Listen, I was just praying over this series, and my prayer was that this would just be a time of healing and deliverance for this whole month, that we're going to deal with mental and emotional health. We're going to deal with diagnoses. We're going to deal with every aspect of mental and emotional health and well-being, and I'm just believing God for deliverance. through inspiration, through information, through revelation, all of it, all of it, all of it, all of it, all coming together. All, some God would do, some that we're going to do. But next week, we're going to get into the topic rage. And oh my goodness, we're going to deal with it. We're going to deal with it. Listen, if you're watching right now and you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you to give your heart to the Lord. Or maybe you know Jesus and you've accepted him before, but you say, honestly, I got to be honest with you, man, I've just kind of drifted away. Well, maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. So if you're watching right now and you want to give your heart to Jesus, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, we call it rededication. I want you to pray this prayer after me from your heart. Say, dear God in heaven, I need salvation. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me my wrongdoings. I believe that God sent you to die on the cross. And there you paid the price. You were buried, and God raised you 3 days later. I believe that with all my heart, and I make you my Lord. Because of that, I'm saved and I'm forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. To God be the glory. I believe somebody just got born again. Somebody just got saved and they're going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It is all about Jesus. It is all about eternity. Man, I don't care if you find a way to get peace. And really, there is no peace without Jesus. No true lasting peace. Get Jesus in your heart, man. That's a priority. And then live for him like never before. Listen, I'm so grateful for this time together. I'm excited about this series, Managing Emotions. Next week, we're going to be talking about rage. All right. I love you all. See y'all soon. Peace.